Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 66 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus Christ has said, "I am the light of the world." In a dark world, why not turn on the light? That's what I'd like to visit with you about today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, there is enough darkness around us that today we'd like to hear about that light which you bring to us in our Christian faith. Lord, we know that sometimes even in the church there is a darkness. Take away the gloom, Father, and grant that we may learn from your word what the true mission and the true proclamation of Christ's church is on this earth. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 119th Psalm, beginning with verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me. Purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory at hand, this delight so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus,
friends in Christ, we've all had the experience of having a television program interrupted with the announcement that our area is under a severe thunderstorm watch. Suddenly there is a flash of lightning, then a clap of thunder, and then the house shakes and the lights go out. Now, you've got to find a candle and then a match to light it. You know your house and supposedly where things are, but you can't find a candle. And since no one smokes in your family, where do you find a match? Well, your experience is much like mine if you've had one like that. We just need a candle when it's dark. There's nothing worse than falling around in a house with no light. You think the next fall is going to be the time that you may break a hip or something terrible could happen. How symbolical this is of life. Financially, at times, we live in darkness. My broker, who is a very competent person, tells me we just don't know what the market is going to do from one day to the next. My doctor, physically speaking, will often say, you know, we really can't tell how long this particular person is going to live. The odds are that she's very terminal. But who knows? She may live on for a year or two. That's kind of darkness, isn't it? The Bible talks often of living in spiritual darkness. Moses once said to his people, if you turn your back on God, he will afflict you, and at midday you will grope around like a blind man in the dark. Jesus, also talking about light and darkness, says, the man who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Here in our text today, the 119th Psalm, you have this clear word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This verse makes it very clear that without God's word, humans walk in spiritual darkness, even when it comes to their relationship with Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about this darkness and the light that overcomes it as we enter into a relationship with God. And today, primarily, I'm talking to those who are members of the church and those of us who confess to be Christians. How often we find people living in darkness when it comes to their own salvation. If you ask them the question, do you know for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven? Often the answer that comes back is, I hope so. I'm not sure, but I hope that I have lived a good enough life. Friend, that kind of an answer shows that the person is really living in darkness. For that person needs to have the light of the gospel. The gospel that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. In other words, friend, we are not saved by our good works, are we? You've heard that often enough. But we are saved because the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world. Through his suffering and death at the cross of Calvary, he has paid the price for our sins. By his glorious resurrection, he has won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. And therefore, if we will trust him, if we by the grace of God have invited him to be a part of our lives, then our sins are forgiven. We are restored into fellowship with God, and we know beyond all doubt that God has a place for us in heaven. There, you see, we need the light of the gospel. For if you and I just move around in what seems to be so rational, live a good enough life and you're going to be rewarded with a heavenly home, we will be living in darkness and not enjoy the freshness of the gospel and the light. If we have a God in our own mind who is supposed to guarantee us a trouble-free life, we are looking up the wrong tree. That is not the God who is presented to us in the Bible. When some heartache comes and you believe that God is supposed to give you all of these good things, then you have to ask the question, where is this God? And occasionally I will hear of a person being angry with God. Now, being angry with God is not so bad. He understands. And if we mentioned here a few Sundays ago in one of the sermons, if you're his child, you can come to your Heavenly Father, and he loves you in a very special way, and you can express your anger to him. But you'll be angry a lot of times if you think your father is going to shield you from all difficulty that might come your way. You're walking in darkness if you think the crushing blows are not going to come to you simply because you're a Christian. In other words, God does not spare us. That's the light of His Word. He gives us strength to meet the difficulties. The Word of God says He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You say, but that's not what I want. I don't want strength. I don't want a refuge. I just don't want to have trouble. But the light that comes from God's holy word, as He gives to us a realistic picture of life here on this earth, is that we will not be spared. He gives us hope. He says, when you go through those very difficult times, I'm never going to fail you, and I will not forsake you. I'll stand right there with you. Remember that chapter in the book of Acts where Paul is shipwrecked out in the Mediterranean? Here's a person who has given his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you have thought that God would have spared him? Why didn't Paul cry out, "Hey, God, have you forgotten where I am out here in the Mediterranean Sea? You're a missionary. Don't you think you ought to take care of me?" But Paul's eyes had been opened by the word of God, and he knew that all of the difficulties could come to him as well as to anyone else. If you have a God, or if you want a God, who will serve you, but who doesn't ask you for very much, then you need to have your eyes opened with the light of God's holy word. If you want to pray, "Lord, bless me with a good family, and then bless us so that everything will go along just fine for many, many, many a year, ad infinitum, God," and then that's the end of it, I tell you, friend, you may have some disappointing times ahead, because that is not the way that it works. God says, "I'll give you a family, and I'll bless that family. But I want you to know that you have a responsibility, dads and moms, to that family. And when you bring that child to the baptismal font, and you turn around and go back to your pew, you realize what has happened. You have been admonished from God's holy word to take that child home and introduce that child to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you do as father and mother by teaching that child what is in the Bible. When that child is naughty, to say, 'Look, that wasn't nice. God doesn't like that.' That's what we call sin." Now, I can imagine somebody saying, "Oh, no, you don't do that. That's poor child psychology. You don't tell them that they're sinners." Well, that isn't what the Word of God says. But the Word of God hurries on to say that as soon as you have told them who they really are, just as a little tot, you tell them how much Jesus loves them, that He has come into this world, He has died, He has taken away their sins. And so He doesn't like to have a sin. But when we do sin, He will forgive us. And then He'll say, "Now, don't do it anymore." That's the kind of teaching that needs to come to a little child. It is in the home through what we say, our actions, how we treat one another. Do we love one another? Do we forgive one another? Are we sensitive to the needs of one another? It's a spirit with which we live. It's a spirit of knowing that we have been with Jesus Christ, and other people can see it too. That we are no longer a saint in church and a tyrant around the house. The Word of God gives us a lot of light on that. Just think of that little passage that comes in the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Fathers, and he would include mothers too, do not provoke your children to anger. That's quite an eye-opener, isn't it? You see what David or the psalmist, whoever he might be, means when he says Your word is a light, a lamp for me to go by. instruct them in the teachings of the Word of God. If you want a God who is able to adjust to the culture of the day, then you don't have the God of the Bible. I tell you, friend, God is not one who adjusts to the things of the day. I heard a person well-trained in the teachings of the Word of God and had a responsible position in the church who said recently to a group of pastors, "We must accept the fact that our Christianity has to be aware of what's going on in society and make some adjustments to our culture. And if we don't do that, people will turn off the church." But the Word of God says, you can't do that. God's Word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is not that society changes God's Word, but it is that God's Word changes our society and molds our culture. There is a great deal that is written in our day, and there is so much discussion around this topic of sex. And we talk about unfaithfulness in marriage, of a husband or a wife not being faithful to the spouse. You know, even though we live in the year 2002, and much of the moral absolute has gone, according to God's Word, marriage demands faithfulness. Let a husband leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. And that doesn't mean that I visit in somebody else's home who is not my wife or my husband and be unfaithful to that one whom I claimed and vowed to be faithful to at the altar. We are having silly discussions that shows the darkness in which we live as a society, where we even begin to say, well, there may be circumstances where premarital sexual relationships are all right. That is not what the Word of God has said. That is called adultery, and adultery is sin, and sin which is unforgiven separates us from God. What's this matter of cohabitation all about? Just move in wherever you want to, whenever you want to? Oh, you say, no, we ought to have a real commitment. Then God says, if you've got a commitment, get married. For this whole matter of cohabitation is adultery, and that's sin. What about the permanency of marriage? Was a little girl right when she said to me, "Can you change the vows, Pastor? And probably let it say, we're going to stay together until love runs out." No, that's not the way it is. And therefore, the psalmist makes it very clear that we need to have our eyes open, that light could shine in upon us. Our world is broken, and we all as people walk in darkness. Read the newspapers and the darkness is ever before us. Look at our government and see its corruption. Note big business and trade unions and see how dishonesty can creep in there. Sad to say, there's also darkness sometimes in the church. But let us not despair. For listen once more to the psalmist. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen to Jesus when he says, "I am the light of the world, and I love you dearly." That's what Pastor Lean is singing in some of our music today. Oh, how he loves us and wants us to live in the light. Amen.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
As children of the light, Heavenly Father, grant that we may walk knowing what your will is. May we not be overcome by the darkness, but grant, O Lord, that we may understand that your word is truth, that is the light. Then we pray that you will sanctify us in that truth and live therein through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. September is anniversary month for Christian Crusaders. We are broadcast on 34 stations in 12 states with over 1 million listeners. The first broadcast of Christian Crusaders was September 6, 1936, over WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. We are grateful to you, our listeners, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. You can listen to this sermon again, or print out this sermon, or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.